Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Dr. Peter Cookson. And Dr. Cookson is going to talk about the Delta variant. And you know what worries me is that, you know, they're talking about a variant that could be more contagious than the previous illnesses that we've encountered. And people think that everything is back to normal and the coronavirus is going to go away. So what do you think, Peter?
Well, bless their hearts. That's not going to happen. And I kept thinking about this increased infectivity. And excuse me, it was a puzzle to me at first why that happens. Until finally I sat down and thought about it. And what happens is a strain of the virus mutates once it infects a susceptible individual. Say even the wild strain will infect an individual and it will mutate. They always mutate, and most of the mutations do not cause any serious problems. But every so often, one will become mutated in a way that enables it to attach more thoroughly or more aggressively to the next cell or the cell next to the one in which it mutated. And this is all taking place in a single individual and in a few lung cells or cells that line the airways. And then when this mutation finds itself more adapted to infecting the next cell, then it reproduces itself more of itself gets reproduced until finally it's like pollen that we are familiar with out here in the country or in the city as well. And when you only have a few pollen granules out there floating around in the atmosphere, not so many people have runny noses and itchy eyes and sneezes. But if the pollen count gets very, very high because the tree or the grass that is able to produce the pollen has acquired an ability to produce more pollen, why more and more people get sneezes, more and more people get allergic symptoms. And that is an analogy for what happens in human beings when they are infected by a virus that has changed itself by mutation in such a way that it is able to produce increased numbers of itself. Then along the way, an additional viral mutation will take place that will enable itself not only to maintain or hold the ability to make lots more of itself, but also the new variety seems to be more aggressive in ways that I'm not really altogether sure of. Does it cause more fatalities, or does it cause greater or more severe illness because it destroys more cells? That's one way, mechanism that the increased, what the term that physicians and scientists use is called virulence. The virus becomes more wicked or more deadly. When that happens, then more and more people become certainly carriers of a strain that is not only more transmissible, but the new variant of it is transmissible or is more lethal or kills people faster. And the exact mechanism of death for these people generally is an overstimulation of that individual's immune response coupled with a greater number of cells that are dying as a result of the increased infection and increased virulence. So the Delta strain that has recently emerged has developed an ability to produce not only greater numbers of itself or reproduce itself more to a greater extent, but also the offspring or the progeny of that new variant is more capable or has the ability to stimulate a greater response on the part of the host, and it kills more of the host's cells. And the exact mechanism for that is not clear to me, and I haven't been able to find any definition of how that's actually happening. But it's certainly happening in that these Delta strains, and then I've heard most recently they have found a strain that has mutated yet again to be even more deadly than the Delta strain. And they are referring to this, they being the scientists, are referring to this new strain as the Delta Plus. And the expectation is that that's what viruses do. They constantly shift. When a virus encounters an individual who has been vaccinated, that individual has been able to develop antibodies to the virus because of the stimulation that the vaccine creates or causes in the individual's, human's, immune system. So the vaccinated person has now circulating in its bloodstream antibodies, pardon me, and also certain cells referred to as T memory cells, that when it comes in contact with a new strain of the virus, some of those viruses will get around, quote-unquote, or avoid being destroyed by this vaccine-mediated immune mechanism or antibodies. So we're talking about numbers that are difficult for me and for most people to comprehend in terms of numbers of viruses and numbers of antibodies that are floating around in the bloodstream, especially in persons who have been adequately vaccinated, and they will respond with a, quote, robust, unquote, response to the invasion of the virus. That is, those of us who have been vaccinated, who go out and do not wear a mask and come in contact with somebody who has a virus that may simply be the one in the UK, or may simply be wild strain. But this wild strain, when exposed to the antibodies, is capable of, some of them will dodge it or get around it. And if that mechanism that they use to get around the antibodies in the vaccinated person is then reproduced, or the ability to produce that ability to get around is reproduced, then we have vaccinated persons who are now able to, who are now infected by a new strain that has been developed. I'm not saying it's my opinion that we should all get vaccinated, no question about it. And I got vaccinated, my wife is vaccinated, and our friends are vaccinated, no doubt about it. That's the route to follow, no question about it. But we must understand that the virus is smart or has adapted over centuries and using mass reproduction to circumvent any mechanisms that we are devising to counteract its ability to spread and its ability to make us sick. So the virus is busy. We need to be as busy. So is there something else that we can do to thwart the effectiveness granted to the virus by means of its ability to reproduce at enormous rates? And that is, yes, wear your mask, and the social distancing that has been promulgated needs to be underscored or needs to be emphasized so that we can understand how we could possibly thwart this new strain or new strains of virus. One of the obvious examples that will help people understand what I'm saying is that as a result of the methods proclaimed as being useful in reducing the number of infections and reducing the number of people who get really sick, has also been very, very effective in reducing the number of individuals who have gotten sick in the last couple of years, resulting from the annual flu epidemic that we are often advised to get a vaccination for. This last 2020 and the winter of 2020-21 has seen a dramatic fall off in the number of individuals who get who catch the flu. That's what I want to say, because people are wearing masks and people are not gathering together in large groups and spreading the virus around. So that mechanism, which has been very effective in reducing the number of influenza patients, is also very effective in reducing the number of persons who will get sick from the coronavirus.
So I've got a question for you, Peter.
Yes.
How does the variance occur?
How?
Yep.
Yeah, how do variants occur? Oh, okay.
Yep.
When the virus invades a cell, its primary responsibility is to reproduce itself. And the mechanism that it uses is to use the cellular mechanics that a cell has within itself that enables the cell not to produce proteins and also to produce RNA in the case of this particular coronavirus. And they are called microvesicles or little globules of incredibly complicated machinery that the cell has developed over eons to enable it to make proteins that it needs in order to do the job that it wants to do or in order to sustain itself. The virus is able to orchestrate or take over the command of that particular mechanism that's inside the human cells, whichever one they happen to infect. And then that cell, having had its program to reproduce or to manufacture proteins, has now been taken over by the virus. How does that happen? I don't know. But the virus is able to take over and say, okay, stop making those proteins that you've been making for, say, insulin or for some other hormone or for mucus or for some other intracellular protein, and now start making viruses. In that process, RNA, which is the basis for the genetic code for this virus, is fragile, and it gets mixed up. And most of the time, the mix-ups are not viable, meaning that they don't survive. Every so often, when a mix-up occurs in the viral protein, in the viral RNA, ribonucleic acid, which is similar to deoxynucleic acid. Anyhow, that's getting too far. What happens is that things get mixed up in there, and out comes a different variety. And with that different variety that gets ejected out into the bloodstream of the body, that one infects the nearby cells more quickly than the parent. And so with more quickly infection, it produces more of itself. And then that cascades to the point where you're getting vast quantities of this changed virus that gets coughed out or somehow or other transferred to another host. And they, from there, that new host then transfers it to one, two, or three other hosts. And it doesn't take long before the total number of people who are infected by this new strain grows at astronomical rates and astronomical numbers that are very, very fast, to put it that way. So that's... what's there?
People are going about their lives as if everything we've experienced over the past 15 or 16 months is over with. You know, places are opening up, there's crowds and stuff. So I don't think people understand the Delta variants or other variances, and they don't understand that it could be deadly. What do you say to those people?
Get your vaccination. The vaccination will reduce the intensity of the illness that you contract. They will not be able to, not wearing your mask, believing that it's all over and everybody can go out and have fun again and then and not to worry about this coronavirus will have no effect whatsoever on the virus, will have no effect on its ability to mutate, and it will mutate again, and it will cause greater numbers of people to be infected. One of the things that we recognize is that the infectivity or that this virus behaves much like the flu virus in terms of its seasonal nature. And so come fall and come winter, there's going to be another surge. There's no doubt about it because we do not understand how important avoiding the contact among individuals who are sick or not sick, how important that is at putting a stop to this. It's my opinion at this time that we are not going to see this virus go away, and we're not going to see ourselves totally free of having to get booster shots or immunizations for forever, perhaps, or for a very long time. It's a remarkable organism that's able to change in response to our efforts to thwart its ability to infect and its ability to kill the host, which is not...
I was speaking to one of my neighbors the other day, and he said that he had gone to Saratoga, and Saratoga was just packed with people, and nobody was wearing masks. That was not wise, right?
I agree. It's not wise. I think the problem is that people do not understand what is going on and the biology of this organism, the biology of viruses. And that's what you and I are trying to do, just to light a candle and help in some way people to understand how this virus works and that it will work whether you wear a mask or not. It's going to continue. It will get around you. The mask is so far one of the best protectors in addition to the vaccine. I would say vaccine is very, very important. And even though I am vaccinated and my wife is vaccinated, we always wear a mask when we go out the door, especially if we're going to market or any place. We don't go anywhere else anymore at this particular time. You've got to wear that mask as well because you don't know whether there is another variant. Yesterday, my wife had an extended conversation with somebody in Arkansas in an effort to get her computer fixed. That person was telling her the tremendous upsurge in the Delta variant in New Orleans or Louisiana and had spread almost overnight to Arkansas, Texas, and let me see, I wrote down where else it was to... Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana, of course, okay. And just like overnight, and they were packing, this gentleman's wife was a nurse in a hospital, and they were just simply overwhelmed all of a sudden as a result of the people who are living in those communities not understanding how important it is to wear their mask and to practice the social distancing. And again, I come back to the political class that is responsible for instructing their citizens and the people who have entrusted themselves to their care and have given them the responsibility for teaching the citizens what is the best for the health and well-being of the people for whom they are responsible. So those leaders in those states down there, I hold responsible for this tremendous upsurge in the number of cases of Delta and Delta Plus variant that is just rampaging through those states that have not been informed. Those are not stupid people. Those are uninformed people, and the responsibility for informing them lies right on the shoulders of the political class.
Well, here in New York, Governor Cuomo has not mentioned the Delta variants at all. He's acting as if everything is in the past. What do you say about that?
Okay, that was what he was told back in 2020. And as a result of the failure of the public health system in the United States for a variety of reasons to properly inform not only Governor Cuomo, but also governors and other public health agencies throughout the country, the failure of the CDC to properly inform our citizens of the risk that is either here or on its way, and the proper mechanisms to take, means to take to protect our citizens, we got sick. And so that book that you recommended a month or so ago, I bought that book and read it. That is The Premonition. And that's basically an indictment of the public health system and the CDC as to why we as citizens of this country have suffered as much as we have, far in excess of the suffering that was encountered by other citizens of other countries around the world. It's a failure of our public health system, a failure of those people to whom, in whom we trusted, and they failed, and there's no doubt about it. They failed us, and is Governor Cuomo has demonstrated a willingness and an ability that, when given the proper information, appropriate information, he is able to and has responded appropriately each time. He doesn't have the information, nor has he had the proper direction yet. But I know that when he does get the proper information, and I'm not a Democrat, by the way, he will respond. He's demonstrated that over and over again. You just have to watch him, that's all, or just remember what he did. He did that. And so I have no doubt whatsoever when somebody hits him upside the head and says, hey, take a look at what's going on down there in Arkansas and Louisiana and Texas, and say, wow, it could be here. And it's here already, by the way. It just hasn't spread as quickly yet. Or we also have more people in this state that have been vaccinated, and so we may not be seeing the tremendous number of individuals flocking to the hospitals. In the states that I mentioned, the number of vaccinated people is far, far fewer than it is in New York. Thank you very much to the health departments in this state and for our political leadership.
Now, do you think there's a possibility if the Delta variant gets out of hand?
Oh, yes.
Businesses will close up again like they did in 2020?
That's a political decision, and I don't know whether or not they're willing to do that again. But to answer your first question, the answer is yes. Will it take over? Yes, it will spread like wildfire here, and those individuals who have been vaccinated or who have had the coronavirus infection before getting reinfected with the Delta virus will have a far less intense reaction to it. That's what happened to me. I had had the coronavirus number one back in 2002. So when I got reinfected in 2020, my clinical experience was limited to 8 hours of aches and pains and a little bit of a cough and some difficulty with sleeping. It was the long haul that I still suffer from, and I can't predict. And there are good people who are looking at the long haul experience of these persons who have gotten the coronavirus. However, the expectation is that even if the Delta and Delta Plus strain comes here, those persons who are infected, who are vaccinated, or who have previous infection experience, and they have an intact immune system, will not be as sick as those individuals who don't have either advantage in responding to this new Delta or Delta Plus variant. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I don't think many people right now are aware that there's a Delta variant and that it could be harmful. Would you agree?
I agree, 100%. And that's exactly what's happening in New Orleans and Louisiana and Arkansas, Texas. That's what's happening. And that's why the hospitals are now getting inundated, swamped by patients who have, unbeknownst to them, have been exposed to a new strain which is more deadly and more infectious than what we call the wild strain. So those people, if that were the case here, and that is if our leaders and if our people that are supposed to tell us what to do fail to tell us what to do, which is what the indictment of the author of the premonition claims, and justifiably so, that our government has failed us in its agencies, and most notably the CDC, et cetera, to tell us what to do and tell us we should be afraid, we should be alarmed, we should listen, and we should do what they're telling us. If that doesn't happen, then we're going to see a lot of sick people, and those 30% of the population of New York who decided not to get their vaccines are going to wind up in the hospital.
Wow. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, well, the statement is based on biology. It's not based on politics. I take the biology and say, and respond to your question was, what can we do? And the answer is, you and I are doing what we can. We're lighting a candle, and we're putting out there what we should be doing.
Right.
We have just a very, very limited exposure to the general population, that is to give them the information that we think is critical for their health and well-being and survival. But we have a very, very low power sounding board or bullhorn or whatever you want, and we're doing the best we can. Light a candle, and whoever's listening to this, talk to your neighbor. If they're not vaccinated, say, don't come to my house. I don't want to see you again. Go get vaccinated.
Wow.
Come back. My brother returned from Peru, Lima, Peru, where he had been living for almost 60 years as a Marinol missionary priest up there in the Altiplano. He finally was able to get the first dose of what's called Sinovac, which is a vaccine manufactured in China. He got one dose, and so he was able to buy an airline ticket to fly from Lima, Peru to JFK, New York, which is very unusual. Most of the time they stop in Miami. Anyhow, he got to New York and was able to get a car, a transportation to the Marinol Mother House in Ossining, New York, and where he is now in quarantine. And he will be there until supposedly 14 days after, ideally 14 days after he gets the second dose of Sinovac or some other vaccine. Mixing and matching has been looked at, and the answer is it's okay to mix and match. Even the mRNA with the adenovirus strains, that's okay to mix and match them. The immune system knows what to do. So he's going to have to wait. He got one dose. He's supposed to get his second dose this week, and then he may have to wait an additional 2 weeks before they let him loose. And when they let him loose, he's going to run down to Croton Harmon, jump on the Amtrak and wind up in Albany and come to – I will pick him up, put a mask on him, and take him directly to Sharon Springs, where he will be quarantined for another month or so.
Well, our time is up, and I'm sure that we will have many other conversations about the COVID.
I hope so. Yeah, it's so important to tell the people what to do and how to protect themselves from this fatal illness.
So you've been listening to Peter Cookson. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. And if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. I'll be here. Bye.